And the plaque was covered with names and small American flags that mounted on either side of it. And David said, "Father Donovan, what is this?" "Son," he said, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service." They stood together quietly. And so Davy said, "Was that the 9:30 service or the 11 o'clock service?" "Hopefully, you're not going to die in our service. Hopefully, God's going to do something in each of you." And so I'm really excited about what God's going to be doing here. Someone approached me and he said, "Pastor Brad." Maybe they just said Brad. Maybe they just said Brad. He said, "Brad, I've been in other churches that have expanded. And when they expanded, they lost something." And actually, I've heard that from more than one individual. And so the concern is, so this is a family church. Amen. Okay? And when a person comes in, we want you to feel like you're part of the family. And if you haven't been greeted by at least 10 people and you're new here in church, something's wrong. Okay? So, God has put within us a DNA that I do not want to lose. And part of that DNA is that God brings people here that are hurting. And somehow, because of your ministry to them, or my ministry to them, or all of us together, they're able to learn to love the Lord. They're able to learn to love themselves. And they're able to learn to love other people. And by doing so, God begins to create in them and in us just a greater capacity to love. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you first came here, you were hurting and needed somebody just to love on you? Okay? Yeah. What'd you say, Sandy?
I said I was a mess.
You were a mess. So was I.
You told me that.
Not in those words. Well, Sandy wanted to go to work immediately in our congregation. And I said, "We need to hold off because you need some healing that needs to take place in your life." I don't know that I used those words that you're a mess. But to be honest with you, many people who come here are a mess. Okay? And it's a good place to come to. When you're hurting, you need to go to the hospital, right? And when you're hurting, you need to go to some place where you can be healed. And so God has created that in us. And I don't want to ever lose that. I don't care how large the Lord allows us to become. That has to be part of our DNA. It has to be. And so, some of you, since coming here, have been healed emotionally. Some of you who've been coming here have been healed physically. Some of you who've come here have been healed spiritually. And so, with that being said, I want to introduce you to an individual. Rick, how long have you been here? Maybe 3 years. Rick was a mess.
Yeah.
when he first came here. And today he taught the adult life group. So, and he did a great job. So, Rick, I want you to come and share a little bit about why you were a mess when you came. Okay? Yeah, if you would, stand behind this microphone.
Okay, a little bit about why I was this honor.
Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Before I came here, actually, Pastor Brad came to my house. And we talked about some things. Okay, a lot of it has to do with the death of my daughter. She was murdered. So I was angry. I was really angry. And I wanted vengeance myself. So Pastor Brad came to me. We talked about it at my house. And so then my wife Cindy and I decided we were going to come here. And it took some time to move forward. You know, I kept hearing the word grace. I really didn't totally understand it, and Pastor Brad helped me understand it. And so grace is, I was in the favor of God. God has me in his favor. So through that grace and through his favor, I was able to come up so I couldn't okay, my wife was murdered by the father of her children.
Your sister. I'm sorry, your daughter.
My daughter. Yeah. Was the father, her children, they'd been separated over a year. He found her, broke into her apartment at 1:30 in the morning, pulled her out of bed, shot her multiple times. So yeah, I was angry. I wanted vengeance. I didn't want, and I come to find that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and mine alone. So to move to the next step, I met several times with Pastor Brad. And through forgiveness, I was able to forgive him. I had other words for him. Today I can call him Charles because that's what his birth name is. But I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't call him by his name for years. I'm able to do that today. I give it to God and I leave the vengeance up to him.
Amen.
So forgiveness is a really, really, really big part of moving forward. It helped me move forward. There was some other things that were bothering me. What happened with my ex-wife and stuff. And so Pastor Brad... And I, the comment card, I just kind of put a question mark on the comment card. Guess who called me? So we met in his office, and I had no clue what was holding me back, but we prayed about it. And he prayed for it to, like, happen, and man, it happened. So then I knew what the next step was. So I forgave my ex-wife of a lot of the things she said and done, because she threatened multiple times to shoot me in the head. That's gone today.
Praise,
I mean,
the Lord.
Through forgiveness, that's gone today.
Hallelujah.
So you ain't gonna move forward unless you know, if you got unforgiveness in front of you, give it to God. I mean,
yeah.
Period. You can't hold it because it'll destroy you. It was destroying me. And I've moved forward. I mean, big time. I taught that class today.
Good, like,
wow.
Job.
So that just kind of, you know, I mean, you got to forgive, period. I mean, You can't move forward without it. And I couldn't. And that's why I'm here today and not in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, so forgiveness is huge, huge, huge. Yeah. So.
Amen. Thank you. He was working with my daughter, and my daughter said, "You need to go see my dad, or you need to give my dad a call." And so he did, and God has just done some marvelous healing in Rick's life. And so it's amazing. I can, you know, I look around and just look at those that God has touched and moved in their lives in miraculous ways. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Josiah, would you read our focal passage, Hebrews 12:15, this morning?
Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many.
Okay, read it one more time. Slow down just a little.
Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many.
Read it one more time.
Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many.
Thank you, Josiah.
Welcome.
I didn't make you redo it because you didn't do it the first time. But we do it well the first time. We need to hear this verse. First portion of that passage says, I want you to look after each other. Take care of each other. And if you see bitterness begin to crop up, you need to remind people of the grace of God. Be careful lest any one of you fail to receive the grace of God. Another translation says, be careful lest any of you fail to receive the grace of God, looking diligently lest any of you fail to receive the grace of God. Here's what I have come to understand. First, let me ask this. How many of you have ever been hurt emotionally? All right. That's all of us. You didn't raise your hand. You were just not listening. But that's all of us. Every one of us have been hurt in one way or another, whether it's through rejection or abandonment, whether it's through gossip or slander or betrayal. We've all been hurt in one way or another. I've never had to go through what Rick has gone through. Praise the Lord. But he mentioned grace. Scripture says that grace, the acrostic is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. How many of you have ever had an individual in your life who hurt you that you had a difficult time forgiving? Or an organization. Maybe it was a church. And there's something about this root of bitterness that keeps us from wanting to forgive. I've met with many people, and sometimes always, let me just say this. If you ever want to be healed of a broken heart, or if you want to be healed of an emotional pain in your life, forgiveness is the number one step. Forgiveness is the number one step. Jesus said, you remember he prayed this prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. And he said, if at the end of that prayer, if you're unwilling to forgive men for what they've done to you, then I can't forgive you. As a matter of fact, when we pray that prayer, we say, Father, forgive me as I forgive those who've trespassed against me. So we're telling God, God, don't forgive me unless I forgive them. How many of you have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? So if you tell God, don't forgive me unless I forgive someone else, you think he will answer that prayer? Of course he will. Because that's what he says in his word. Rick had a lot of hurt, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness in his life, not only toward the murderer of his daughter, but also because of his ex-wife. And he shared, and I think it's okay to say this, because he shared it from here. He said, man, I was addicted to alcohol. I was an alcoholic. But when I forgave, I was able to leave all that behind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many times we are hung up on something because of the pain in our heart. I'm sure you've heard that statement, hurting people hurt people. So Rick, let me ask you a question. When you were hurting and in bitterness and unforgiveness, did you ever hurt anybody else? Okay. People that you didn't want to hurt? Yeah. And so this passage of Scripture says that in the letter part, it grows up troubling you and then corrupting many. How does it corrupt many? Well, if you're holding on to bitterness, you're going to take that out on someone, and it may not be the perpetrator of your pain. Okay? And if you've carried anger and bitterness in your life, you know that Scripture is truth. Because it doesn't just come against the individual who has offended you. Usually, it erupts on the people that you love the most. And you think, man, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? And we certainly can't get a hold of it. And the reason is because we are living in unforgiveness. But I want to share something very beautiful with you. Some of you may be here today and say, you don't know what that person did to me. I can never forgive them for what they did. And I get it. I understand the pain. But this passage of Scripture says, be careful lest anyone fail of the grace of God. Now, this is the only passage of Scripture that talks about falling from grace. But it's not talking about losing your salvation. Here's what it's talking about. So in the context of this passage of Scripture, in this context of unforgiveness and a root of bitterness, this is what this passage is talking about. Are you listening? It's very important. If you're at a place in your life where you say, man, I know I need to forgive, but I just can't forgive because of the pain in my heart, God says, I'm going to give you the grace to forgive. I'm going to give you the grace to forgive. I know you can't do it on your own. The person's name who is grace is Jesus. And if Jesus is living in your heart, guess what? If you say, Jesus, I just can't forgive on my own, and I need your grace, guess what he's going to do? He's going to say, no, I don't want to give it to you. No, he's going to say, I'm going to pour it out on you. I'm going to lather you with grace so that you can bring that pain to me. You don't have to wear that pain all your life. I need you to bring that pain to me, and I will heal your pain. We talked about Gomer and Hosea last week. There was evidently some pain in Gomer's heart for her to live the kind of life that she was living. She could not accept love. She rejected the one who loved her. What did Hosea, do you think Hosea got had any pain? You think he had any anger? No doubt. He probably even got angry at God. You don't know the story of Hosea. God told him to marry a promiscuous woman, and she was not faithful to him. And many of the children, well, she had three children, and it sounds like at least two of them were not his own. And it's like, what did Hosea do with his pain? You know he had to have pain. I can't imagine that kind of pain. But what did Hosea do with his pain? Scripture doesn't tell us, but I'll tell you. He received the grace of God. He received the grace of God. And he was able, because he received the grace of God, he was able to forgive his wife. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And I remember meeting with Rick, and I said, Rick, I understand you can't forgive on your own. Would you be willing to pray and ask the Lord to give you His grace to forgive? Rick paused a while. But finally he said, yes, I will receive the grace. And so we prayed and asked, Lord, would you give Rick the grace right now to forgive Charles? And God gave him the grace. Rick's a different person than he was 3 years ago because he received the grace of God. Now, Scripture says you can either accept God's grace to forgive or not. But if you don't, here are the consequences. First consequence is you forfeit the grace of God. The second consequence is that a root of bitterness springs up in you. Bitterness takes root in your life. How many of you know someone who's angry? So, would you be judging to say that angry person has been hurt? No, I mean, that's right judgment. That's correct. Okay? That's truth. If you see an angry person, it's because they've been hurt. But would it also be correct to say that angry person has a root of bitterness in their life? Someone asked me one time, he said, Brad, how long does it take for anger to turn to bitterness? And I said, about 12 hours. Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. God says, man, you need to deal with that quick. Whatever pain has been caused to you, don't go to sleep until you've resolved that with the Lord. And if possible, resolve it with the person, but it's not always possible, is it? sometimes in verse 14, it says, work at living with peace, at peace with everyone. Sometimes it's work to living at peace with everyone, right? How many of you are having a hard time living at peace with someone? No hands. Few hands. You don't get out much. Because people cause problems in our lives. Okay? And either... either we're working at living at peace with those individuals, or we're just saying, forget them. Scripture says, work living with peace with everyone. Bitterness can take a root in our life, and when it does, it affects a lot of things. Did you know that bitterness can affect you physically? As a matter of fact, doctors tell us that anger can cause strokes, heart failure. Some have even said that it can cause cancer. So if I want good physical health, one of the things I need to take care of is my inner health in regards to bitterness, unforgiveness issues. It can affect us emotionally as well. I'm trying to decide whether I should share this or not. Okay. I was working as a youth minister years and years ago, and was doing a youth retreat where there was probably about 20 kids came to the youth retreat. And as I was preparing for the Monday night lesson, a 13-year-old girl comes to me and says, can I speak with you? I said, sure. And so she said, and she was very hesitant, very emotionally upset. She said, it hasn't been long since I've had an abortion. Tried not to show shock or anything. And so she was carrying a lot of guilt and shame over that. But she went on to say it was her dad's child. She was kind of messed up. Have you ever been in a situation you didn't know what to do? Man, it was like she was crying out for help, and I was crying out for help. Because I'd never been in a situation like that before. And it was like, God, what do I do? I was probably 20, 21 years old. And this thought came to mind, and I know it wasn't mine, because I'd have never thought of this. Tell her to forgive her dad. It's like, I don't want to tell her that. Because I don't like him either. And I was grieving for this girl. And I was hurting for this girl. But I didn't know anything else to tell her. And so I said, God wants you to forgive your dad. Will you be willing to do that? She said, yes, I'll do that. She prayed to forgive her dad. She got rid of the guilt and shame of the abortion. And a lot of times when kids are abused, they take it upon themselves. They think, there may have been something I should have done or been able to do to stop this. And there's nothing they could have done. But yet they wear that. And she was able to release that. And it only took about 15 minutes. And she was a changed individual. Completely changed. And she went back to the camp and she told everything that the Lord had done for her. She was even able to share a testimony that night during the evening service. And she was the happiest person in camp. Incredible. What God can do. Incredible. What God will do. Some of you are here today and you're miserable because of what you're packing. The passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 18. And it talks about this landowner, about this king who had servants, and one servant owed him thousands of dollars. Actually, in verse 24 here, it says, in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. But he couldn't pay. And so he begged his lender, please give me more time and I'll pay you. How long would it take you to pay millions of dollars? Not in this lifetime. He said, but if you will just give me some time, I will pay you back. And the guy's like, there's no way you're going to pay me back. I release you from your debt. And the guy's like, woohoo! And man, he goes jumping and dancing. And man, I've been forgiven millions of dollars. And while he was dancing down the steps, he bumps in to a guy that owes him about $6. And he said, oh, hey, you owe me $6. Pay up. The guy says, listen, I don't have $6. If you wait till payday, I'll pay you back. Nope, I don't have it. And so what he did, he put him in debtor's prison. Well, the lender, the big guy, says he heard about it. And he said, because you failed to release him of his debt, then I'm not going to release you of your debt. And I'm going to put you in debtor's prison. And look at verse 34. The angry king sent the man to prison to be what? Tortured until he had paid his entire debt. So, let me ask you a question. Who is tortured when you hold on to unforgiveness? Is the other guy tortured? No, they probably don't even know about it. But he says, I'm going to put you in prison, and you're going to be tortured until you pay the debt. Verse 35, and that's what my Heavenly Father is going to do to you if you refuse to forgive brothers and sisters from your heart. There's a lot of negative things that we cause ourselves when we do not walk in forgiveness. We do it to ourselves. So this morning, while I've been speaking to you, the Holy Spirit has reminded some of you that there are some debts that need to be canceled. And the Lord is telling you, I will give you the grace to do it. He knows how you've been hurt. He knows the brokenness that you felt. He knows. And he says to you, if you will allow me, I will give you the grace so that you can forget. How much grace did you need for God to forgive you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and the Lord reminded you of someone that you needed to forgive, would you just kind of slip your hand up and go back down? Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to ask you this. I'm not going to ask you, do you want to forgive? But I'm going to ask you this. Are you willing to receive the grace that Jesus gives you to forgive? Will you do that? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will give you the grace, and I want you to receive it when he gives it, okay? Lord Jesus, this is a promise that you've made to us. Lord, you know the pain that many have suffered here over the years. And God, it's nagging them. Lord, some of them can't sleep at night. They forget about it for a while, and then the torturers come back.